calling an end to masculine and feminine labels in yoga. I wrote this July 22nd, 2015. I occasionally hear instructions from yoga teachers to roll either to the right or the left side of the body after Shavasana to allow the blood flow to either go to the linear analytical masculine left side of the brain or the creative feminine right side. I have to be honest, hearing this always makes me cringe. I will not go into the ways the human body compensates blood pressure when it is healthy to make sure that we get even circulation. If you think about it, it is absolutely necessary. A few minutes without oxygen to the brain causes brain cells to die. So we cannot really mess around with uneven flow. If you're interested in this concept called cerebral autoregulation, you can go to this blog and there's a link to a very good medical journal on that. So you cannot feed, quote unquote, a side of your brain by rolling to a side. Rather than discussing the physiology in this blog, I will focus on the underlying assumption of the above statement, the myth of the right creative left analytical hemisphere to the brain, and the implication for gender role qualities. All cultures have been preoccupied with defining and clarifying feminine versus masculine roles in society. We need classifications for basic functioning. Language is a form of classification as well. When I ask you to think of a palm tree, your brain comes up with all kinds of images under the classification of palm tree. In traditional yoga, the chakras are positioned at the meeting points of the pingala, which is the red masculine hot sun energy line, and the ida, the white cold lunar feminine energy line. Yin and yang are symbols also for balancing feminine and masculine qualities. It comes as no surprise that when in the 1960s scientists were experimenting with split brain conditions, some of our cultural and biological predispositions towards classification took our imagination by hold. Scientists were cutting the connections between the right and the left brain hemisphere as a last resort treatment for epilepsy, and find that the two halves of the brain acted independently with different processing styles. But it is important to note that in a healthy brain, all things are interconnected and information processing happens as the two halves communicate. Professor Jeff Anderson of neuroradiology at the University of Utah says, and I quote, "It's absolutely true that some brain function occur in one or the other side of the brain. Language tends to be on the left, attention more on the right." But he further goes on to say, "The neuroscience community has never accepted the idea of left-dominant or right-dominant personality types. Lesion studies don't support this, and the truth is, it would be highly inefficient for one half of the brain to consistently be more active than the other," unquote. It seems that for whatever we do, we need both the right and the left side of our brain. There is nothing that we can do that does not require both analytical and creative thinking. I often hear folks equate science with masculine, linear, not creative qualities while classifying visual arts and writing as creative and feminine. But if you really think about it, it takes absolutely amazing amount of information to come up with machines to go to Pluto, or to come up with the structure of the DNA, or to design a virus that could one day attack only the cancer cells in the body. I think of all subjects as music, having both mathematical as well as creative sides. I believe we made the assumption early in our education that science is linear and not creative, because when we first study science, it requires amazing amount of memorization. the language of science is not easy to understand without many years of study. On the other hand, we can all appreciate a painting without knowing the proper brushwork techniques or color theory. I believe our classification of science as masculine and linear left brain is what holds so many creative young girls back from becoming interested and successful in science. We need to teach focus and memorization skills to all students before categorizing them as creative or linear. In reality, the best scientists are creative thinkers. The same is true towards art. We find students who are more naturally inclined to memorize with ease, and so we push them away from liberal arts. But the person who holds a lot of information, will find a lot more creativity later to express themselves through the arts and literature. So creativity is dependent on knowledge. And knowledge is dependent on creativity. They are connected. My passion in yoga is to share a creative, scientifically sound, and historically well-researched spiritual practice. I don't find these terms contradictory. I find them complementary. Creativity is expressed many ways. Some of us write, some design, some dance, some explore the way that the human body behaves. I feel being feminine is also a question of cultural interpretation. In a yoga community, I'm often told that I need to soften or bring out my feminine side. And honestly, I feel judged when I hear this. I don't feel less feminine because I don't fit into the yogic interpretation of femininity. I'm strong. I love doing push-ups. I love doing my chaturangas. I love both science and art. And I have a vulnerable, sensitive side. I don't have to practice in a curvy, dancey way to be feminine. I don't have to practice with less strength, doing less strengthening poses to feel vulnerable or to feel light. I simply have to find ease in the effort. Vulnerability is in the heart. It's not in my bicep. I understand that in yoga, the use of the term feminine and masculine labels are meant to be understood as metaphors or symbols. And we are to understand that all humans have these traits. And I agree, we all have these qualities, but symbols do matter. As we've seen from a recent discussion on the Confederate flag, symbols carry a message. And if we symbolically classify certain qualities as masculine or feminine, then we're going to mark it in our mind as masculine or feminine. There's just no way out of associating these words with attaching further meaning. We all have the above qualities of strength, sensitivity, and so on. How we express them may be different from person to person. I believe we should teach vulnerability and strength without classifying them as feminine and masculine. Let them be an experience, an internal personal experience that is genderless. I believe we need to give it more freedom. We need to free ourselves from sexual roles if we're to teach students to live without judgments of gender biases. I believe when we look at the world from the popularized masculine versus feminine principles, we force individuals to fit into one or the other category, and we hold judgment if we find that they don't balance these categories according to the formula that we find culturally sound. If we teach simple awareness without gender role qualities, we may just find more inner peace about who we are. We may also raise a generation of youth that no longer views mathematics and strength and power and single focus as masculine. nor would it hold vulnerability, softness, empathy, and creativity as feminine. We may just hold them as human qualities that we all need and we all possess. Thank you.